Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Jihad in Ukraine. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist, with a really interesting tale for you today about jihad in Ukraine. Yes, you may well not have heard about this because it has not been very much at all in the mainstream media. Ukraine has become a war zone, not just for Russian and Ukrainian troops, but for seemingly anyone who wants an excuse to fight, to kill and or be killed. To kill in a socially acceptable manner, as opposed to going down to your local 9/11 and robbing them, you know, having a feeling like you have a reason, you know, a noble reason behind you is a lot better. But the interesting thing is that the terrorists are fighting on both sides. There are some terrorists who are fighting for Ukraine, and there are some terrorists who are fighting for Russia. They're fighting against each other. So this could be the counterterrorism solution we have all been hoping for. If the terrorists kill each other in Poland, not that we want, you know, more death in Poland, quite frankly, but if it's just the terrorists killing each other, that could be the accidentally found counterterrorism solution. Well, let me tell you about, I'm going to be talking to you about, all of these different forces and why they're fighting for Ukraine or fighting for Russia, the terrorists and others. But it's a spoiler alert. It's going to maybe sound like the joke, the comedy routine about baseball, you know, who's on first, what's on second. So I'm going to try to make this as clear as possible. But it, of course, you know, it's kind of crazy. And the bottom line is, as much as I try to make it sound clear, it really is kind of crazy. So, okay, but let's first talk about what has happened today in the Ukraine-Russia saga. And that is that there was a meeting in Turkey and between delegates from Ukraine and Russia, you know, trying to come to a peaceful solution. They're not talking about the terrorists. There's a reason why I'm mentioning this first. First of all, it just happened today. Your terrorist therapist is right on top of the news. And also there is a connection to Turkey that is connected to terrorists. So I'm going to get to that in a minute. But first, about the talks today. There seems to have been some progress for a change in the talks between Ukrainian and Russian representatives. And Russia has said that it will radically reduce military activity near Kiev and Chernihiv after what they consider meaningful peace talks with Ukraine. So we have perhaps there is a light at the end of the tunnel, perhaps, at least between Russia and Ukraine. The terrorists may well want to keep up the war, however, once Russia and Ukraine make peace, which would be kind of an ironic twist, and sort of tragic, well, depending upon who's looking at it, a tragic twist if in fact it means more deaths in Ukraine. So, you know, I tweeted about this today, that this could be a sign of hope. Do we dare hope for peace? And yes, if somebody muzzles Biden and doesn't let him out to say things that antagonize Putin, you know, like calling him a war criminal, or like saying he cannot continue to be in power. So if we can keep him muzzled, if we can keep Biden muzzled, there really seems like there may be a chance for peace. Now, what is the strange connection between Turkey and Russia and Ukraine besides this peace conference? The Turkish president has been rallying Turks in the European Union to, quote, work harder to advance the causes of Allah, quote, the causes of Allah, unquote. So while Turkey is hosting Ukraine and Russia, making peace talks, they are also stirring up Turks who want to fight for the cause of Allah. Yes, it's, you know, I said it was going to be like who's on first. He sees Turkish people living in Europe as his own citizens, and he says Turkey does not belong in NATO. Wait a minute. He didn't say that. I'm saying that, and people are saying that who are concerned about what his goals are. Turkey doesn't belong in NATO. It should have been ejected a long time ago because the president of Turkey is an Islamic supremacist, and he's made no secret about his long-term ambition of global conquest, because he wants to revive the Ottoman Empire. This is all terrorist kinds of goals, because he wants to rally these Turks in Europe to fight his political Islamist cause, or to help his political Islamist cause. So he wants these Turkish people to unite under one nation and one flag, and to have an Islamist, that the nation would be Islamist, and would conquer other countries. Now, it's so bizarre in so many different ways, because of that, of course, that's what was Putin's aim, to put the USSR back together. And at the same time, the Turkish president wants to put his empire together, and yet he's holding peace talks in Turkey. So he is trying to, the president of Turkey is trying to interfere in European affairs, and he's trying to use Turks and Muslims as a Trump card, so to speak, nothing to do with President Trump, former President Trump, Trump cards against the nations. He's calling on Turks and Muslims to help him form this Ottoman Empire, or reform it. He said, quote, "The next pillar of the bridge we built from the past to the future should and will be the places where we live in Europe." So he wants to derail any plans devised by European governments. While he's in NATO, he is really having his own plans, basically terrorist kinds of plans, his form of terrorism. Now, to put that aside for a minute, Turkey's role, now we have other terrorists and who are fighting jihad in Ukraine. And these terrorists, well, first let me, you know, a few weeks ago, a prominent Twitter account that is associated with Al-Qaeda recently posted something that claimed that the exiled Chechen leader, Ahmed Zakayev, offered to sign a military cooperation agreement with Ukrainian Prime Minister Zelensky. He offered to send Chechen volunteers to join Ukrainian soldiers in fighting against the Russian invaders. And at the same time, there was increasing chatter among jihadist circles about whether to send terrorists, you know, the radical Islamist terrorists, into Poland. That's another story. I'll get to Poland. But into Ukraine. And the question, now remember, this came out on March 10th. So it's been about 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks, well, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And since then, you know, that's when they posted this. But since then, there have been terrorists coming into Ukraine. I mean, they sort of floated the idea. And since then, there have been terrorists, both for Ukraine and for Russia, coming into Ukraine. Now, there was discussion during these weeks about whether joining the Ukrainian forces constitutes a legitimate form of jihad, or and whether providing aid to non-Muslims would be would constitute a holy war. Now, Ukraine, and that's what he was saying, okay, the Chechen leader Ahmed Zakayev was talking about this. Now, he was saying if such an act promotes Muslim interest, does it constitute a holy war? Now, Ukraine is predominantly Christian. And there are approximately from, you know, it's a very big estimate from a very wide, different estimate, but there are estimates from 300,000 to 2 million Muslims in Ukraine. But some jihad groups are saying that even this minority, this Muslim minority in Ukraine, still justifies participating in the fighting and protecting Ukraine against Russia. So now, even though, this is 3 weeks ago, or, you know, around March 10th, they were debating this. Should they fight for Ukrainians? And then, of course, then other people, you know, the idea of whether fighting in Ukraine is jihad, then came the debates as to whether fighting for Ukrainians would be jihad, would be authorized, so to speak, as jihad, or whether fighting for Russians would be considered jihad, would be that's the way to go. And I'm going to now, in the next segment, I'm going to tell you about all the different, there are at least five different terrorist groups, some of whom are fighting for Russia and some are fighting for Ukraine. So that's a spoiler alert. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about jihad in Ukraine. Now, the war, the Russian invasion of Ukraine has divided Muslim clerics, and they have been debating which side would constitute a legitimate holy war, and they are very divided. And so there are Muslims, terrorists, fighting on both sides. Now, wait, pause. I always clarify. I, of course, am not saying that all Muslims are terrorists and not all terrorists are Muslim. But in regard to the, what I'm talking about today, we can consider the same them terrorists. I'm talking about the people. Well, they are terrorists because they're coming into Ukraine and terrorizing people. For that matter, you know, Russia has been considered as terrorists too. But Russia is not radical Islamist. All right, so let's go into the, I promised you, five different groups who are fighting in Ukraine, some for Ukraine and some for Russia. It kind of goes along with the saying, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. So let's start with the Chechen Islamic scholar, Salak Mezyev, has said that the Russian invasion of Ukraine is a jihad. He has pronounced it a jihad. And it said that it should be fought for the, quote, for the Quran, for God, unquote, in order to save Islam and Russia against the filth of NATO forces. So these people would be fighting for Russia. On the other hand, the Syrian jihadist group, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, is fighting for Ukraine. They declared that, quote, the Chechens fighting with the Russian army are apostates. They have departed from the religion of Islam, even if they claim to be Muslims who fast and perform the five daily prayers. They are siding with an enemy, meaning Russia, who openly shows enmity against Islam. Volunteering in the Russian army is blasphemy, unquote. Okay, so we have one for Russia, one for Ukraine. Here, the Muslim Brotherhood is for both. The Muslim Brotherhood says that a medieval Islamist legal expert had allowed Muslims to join both sides of a war fought among infidels. So they're saying that both Russians and Ukrainians are infidels. So you can fight on either side. Muslims are allowed to join either side of the Russia-Ukraine war to pit one set of infidels against the other. Now, just like I was saying earlier about this is the solution to terrorism, pitting terrorists against each other, those on the side of Ukraine and those on the side of Russia, the Muslim Brotherhood is saying that they could join either side as long as they kill infidels, the Russians and the Ukrainians. Okay, then we have another terrorist group that wants to fight for Russia. And Russia is allowing, you know, Russia is having a lot of military casualties. So anybody who wants to fight for them are allowed in. He has allowed Chechen strongman Ramzan Kadyrov to send in Muslim volunteer fighters into Ukraine. Now, these are for Russia. Okay, so that's his group, the Chechens, the Kadyrov Chechens are fighting for Russia. Now, for the UK again, for Ukrainian. For the Ukrainians against Russia, there is a separatist Chechen group, and they are defending Ukraine. And these are under the leader Zokhar Dudayev. They're his battalion. They're fighting against the Russians. And in fact, he delivered a message to the Ukrainians. I'm talking about Zokhar Dudayev, and he said, quote, dear Ukrainians, please do not see those people, talking about Kadyrov's volunteer forces, the other Chechens, don't see them. So Zokhar is telling the Ukrainians, dear Ukrainians, please don't see those people, in other words, the other Chechens, as Chechens. They are traitors, puppets of Russia. Real Chechens are standing with you, bleeding with you, as they have in the last 8 years. So the Chechens are fighting against each other and on the grounds of Ukraine. I mean, really, you know, it's the tragedy of this whole thing. Well, the whole thing is tragic, and Russia shouldn't have started this in the first place, of course. But what's really especially tragic is that the Ukrainians are getting the worst of it, whether it's Russians or terrorists or any of these different kinds of terrorists. They are getting the worst of it. The Ukrainian people are getting the worst of it. Now, also, the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service, I'm not talking about terrorists right now. Aside from the terrorists, the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service has alleged that the British and U.S. intelligence services are sending in non-state militants, some of them from West Asia into Ukraine from Poland. So Russia is saying, in addition to all the terrorists who are coming in, some for Russia and some against, they're trying to say that Britain and the U.S. are sending in soldiers, militants, you know, from other countries, because of course the U.S. is trying, and NATO are being careful to not send in people who represent the U.S. or NATO, because then it would give Putin an excuse to declare World War III. Now, in addition to all of these fighters, there has been an influx of white supremacist fighters. I'm telling you, from what I said at the beginning, anybody who's angry, anybody who has a fight in them, wants to kill or be killed, kill in a socially acceptable way, or be killed, just like, you know, it's just like suicide by cop. This is suicide by, take your pick, Ukrainian, Russians, terrorists. You're coming in there to fight. I mean, meanwhile, so many people have been killed and injured in Ukraine, and kids left as orphans, and it's just tragic. All right, so this is what's happening with the white supremacist fighters. The influx of jihadist militants may not be the bulk of the foreign fighters who have joined the war. There are also people called, well, you know, I've talked about this in a prior podcast, that Zelensky has asked people to put out a wanted, you know, Uncle Sam wants you. I've been promoting this, actually, that Uncle Zelensky wants you. And he has asked for people to come, really pretty much from any country except for Russia, to come and join the Ukrainian army. And he calls it his international legion. So he, you know, Ukraine, Zelensky, of course, needs help. Ukraine needs help. And there have been lots of people who have come, who have joined this international legion. But what they're saying now, and it's not really clear how many people this is. I mean, there are lots of people who joined Ukraine's International Legion. Some of them have been infiltrated by white supremacist groups who support Ukraine's own far-right organizations. And of course, it's questionable how many people we're talking about here in terms of far-right. But one of the groups is called the Azov Battalion. And that's been banned. One of these far right groups is called the Azov Battalion, and that's been banned by the U.S. as a, quote, foreign terrorist organization because of its alleged neo-Nazi connections. I mean, you can't tell the players, but they should be wearing, well, I guess they do wear different uniforms, but I think it gets confusing. So let's see. During the war, Ukrainian National Guard showed a video tweeted by Azov fighters, the bad guys, in other words, which showed them coating their bullets with pig fat for use against Muslim Chechens fighting in support of Russia. Well, are they really the bad guys? Because we, you know, they're fighting terrorists and they're fighting the people who are in support of Russia. I mean, that's the thing. It's my enemy. Like I was talking about last time, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's hard to make out who. There are too many people, too many cooks spoil the broth, and you can't really say that in a simple way anymore. Ukraine lifted visa restrictions, they are saying that 52 countries, you know, people from 52 countries have volunteered to fight in Ukraine in this international legion to fight for Ukraine. And they're saying that the influx of foreigners to support Ukraine are about 40,000 to 100,000 people. I mean, that's a big difference, but of course it's hard to tell on the battlefield. So now there are also Nazis who have come to join the war. They are just like the terrorists. The jihadists, they're also divided on which side they want to fight. Now, some foreign far-right groups are hesitant to support Ukraine's Jewish president, Zelensky, who, by the way, is a grandson of a Holocaust survivor. Others have taken exception to Putin's remarks that his forces are fighting for the denazification of Ukraine. So even these Nazi fighters can't decide who to fight for or and against. Now, the bottom line is, this segment has gone on for a while. I will give you the bottom line to this soup of fighters in the next segment. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I hope I haven't fried your brain with all of these examples of people who are fighting jihad, basically, in Ukraine. That would be the radical Islamist terrorists fighting jihad. But then we also have other parties from far-right fighters to Nazi fighters. Again, not being able to decide, all of these groups can't decide who to fight for, Ukraine or Russia. So, and they are killing each other, which is, you know, the best thing, better thing than killing the Ukrainians. But of course, the Ukrainians are the collateral damage while these people are just choosing to fight there. And so really, Ukraine has become a new hub for transnational terror, the new hub. So there are foreign fighters, private mercenaries, religious and racial radicalized militants in this ongoing war, complicating the war. I mean, I don't know how they know who to shoot at or fire missiles at when there are all these, this vegetable soup of people fighting, people with weapons. Now, the problem is that both Russia and Ukraine, who have been losing their fighters, I think Russia has been losing more fighters on their side, since they have been losing fighters, you know, the idea of somebody else, anyone else, for whatever reason they have, whether it's jihad or whatever, or Nazis, or, you know, hating Zelensky, they want people to fight for them. And same thing, of course, for Zelensky. He put out this call, Uncle Zelensky wants you. So part of the reason why they're they're desperate, of course, for people to help them, both Russia and Ukraine. But also they are tempted to have these mercenary forces and these jihadists and so on to fight for them because they are better trained in urban and guerrilla warfare than some of the people who they have in their military. And also Russia and Ukraine can deny any violations of the international humanitarian rules from the Geneva Convention. They can say this was wasn't a Russian who did it, or it wasn't a Ukrainian who did it. It's a jihadist, you know. Anyhow, needless to say, this is making the whole war zone much more dangerous. And we have seen this happen before. It's like people don't learn their lessons from the past. He who forgets history is doomed to repeat it. That has been my I have been repeating that on and on, particularly in regard to 9/11. But it's also in regard to Afghanistan, the Afghanistan war against the Soviet Union. And, you know, Afghanistan became just like Ukraine is now. Afghanistan became a war zone for people from all different countries and all different for all different reasons. So he who forgets history is doomed to repeat it. Here are some other aspects of this. I'm just going to give you brief. In Russia, Muslim leaders issue fatwa, quoting Quran to justify Ukraine invasion. They're saying, in other words, Muslim leaders in Russia are saying that Muslims, that the Quran says that Muslims killed in it are martyrs. I mean, we know that terrorists fighting for the Quran, fighting for Allah, of course, if they are killed, they are martyrs and they go to paradise. So Russian Muslim leaders are issued a fatwa to make it a demand to justify the Ukrainian invasion. And they are saying that, that any Muslims who happen to be killed in it are going to be martyrs. On the other hand, in Chechnya, the Mufti, the Muslim legal experts, who is empowered to give rulings on religious matters, they're saying, Chechens fight for Russia and Ukraine for the sake of Allah. They are at jihad. So we have various leaders telling their peoples to go fight, bottom line, to go fight. Now, there is also some other collateral damage. It is not just this mixture of fighters, but some other things are happening while we're paying attention to the fight going on, the war going on in Ukraine. There are also other things happening. For example, in Sweden, Muslim migrants tried to force their way into Ukrainian refugee accommodations for women. So in Sweden, you know, some of the Ukrainians have Ukrainians, as I'm sure you know, have been leaving Ukraine, especially women and children. They've kept men in Ukraine who are between 18 and 60 so that they can fight for Ukraine, but women and children are allowed to leave. And they have been leaving in huge numbers and have been migrating into other countries like Sweden. And so Sweden has these accommodations for Ukrainian women, and unfortunately, Sweden has let in, as have many European countries, and quite frankly, this is going to be we've been seeing the end of Europe because of all the migrations, but this war in Ukraine is really making the numbers rise. Well, I'll continue and you'll understand what I'm saying. Now, the Quran teaches that infidel women can be lawfully taken for sexual use, especially if they don't cover themselves adequately with their outer garments. So in Sweden, one night, this has been happening more than one night, but there's a story about this one night. First, the Somalis came at 3 o'clock at night. Two Somali men started knocking on the front door of the hostel where the Ukrainian women were. Without opening the door, the Ukrainian women tried to talk to the men outside. So one of them said, quote, "They looked like African Americans. If I expressed myself politely, if I expressed myself politely, they were black people, long and narrow with black skin color." She explained that she told the Somalis knocking on the door. You know, this has been happening in all the European countries where Somalis and Middle Easterners have come in, have migrated. There's an increasing number of rapes. And she explained to the men that only Ukrainian women and children live in the hostel. But the men said they tried to say that they have a friend who lives there. And she asked them what the friend's name was. And she told them that, no, this person, you know, they made up a name. So she said, no, this person isn't in the hostel. But the men didn't give up. And then a third Somali man came. And so then the women went into their rooms and they locked themselves in. But somehow the Somali men found a way to enter the hostel. They started knocking on the door of a woman who lives with her two small children who were 2 and 4 years old. They were very scared. Then the Arabs came. At 5 o'clock in the morning, a group of Arab men came and tried to enter the hostel. They didn't manage to get in. And the hostel now has security guards to try to stop this from happening. But the Ukrainian women don't want to call the police because they haven't registered with the Swedish Migration Board yet, and they're afraid of getting into trouble and of being deported. But anyhow, this is happening all over Europe, and now it's happening to Ukrainian women in Europe. I mean, it's just, then we have Syrian, Iraqi, and Afghan Muslim migrants pass themselves off as international students in Ukraine to enter into Europe. So the Syrian, Iraqi, and Afghan migrants mingled with Ukrainian refugees and tried to say, they're trying to say that they're trying to hide their nationality and trying to hide their intentions by mixing in with the Polish refugees, whether it's, you know, trying to say that they're students and international students. They're finding ways to mix in and to get into more European countries. And then we have also Muslim migrant students, so-called students, tried to rape fleeing Ukrainian women. They called them Christian sluts. So there have been horrific scenes in the forest outside the border of Poland, where natives of Muslim countries who have had the status of scholarship holders at universities there in Ukraine, from these Middle Eastern or from the African countries, basically on the border of Poland and in various European countries, people from the Middle East and people from Africa are trying to pass themselves off or not, just trying to get in and then trying to rape the Ukrainian women. And the Ukrainian women are saying that they want to go home to Ukraine. Do you believe that? Because they're so terrified of these people who are raping them, the Middle Easterners and the people from Africa, Somali for notably, they want to go back to Ukraine, where war is. So this is going to be the collateral damage, another part of the collateral damage of the Russian-Ukraine war. There goes Europe. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.